and the Old Testament, turn to the book of 1 Samuel, if you would please, the book of 1 Samuel and chapter number 1. Lord, begin to place upon our heart a thought here from 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I pray it'll be a blessing and a help and a challenge to each of us here this morning. We're going to look at a little bit of, if you will, at the life of Hannah, and certainly some things that we can learn from her life, and not only the ladies as mothers, but all of us today, I believe, could learn some lessons from the life of Hannah. Matter of fact, the thought or the title for the message today just simply be Lessons from Hannah. Lessons from Hannah, as we see here now in the precious Word of God. Hannah's a very interesting lady as you study her here in 1 Samuel. And we see God doing a lot of different things, certainly within the children of Israel. And I don't have time to get in all the things this morning, but I do want to look at her life for a few moments and pray that we all could learn some lessons from her life. And I believe that we can as we begin to survey them and look at it, her life through the Scriptures this morning. All right, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. 1 Samuel in chapter number 1. I would encourage you, for the verses that I'm not going to have time to read, I would encourage you to come and certainly finish reading, looking at 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and even chapter 2, certainly about the life of Hannah. But I'm going to start reading for the sake of time this morning in verse number 10. And read several verses here this morning. So you pray for us, and I want you to pay attention now to the Word of God. And I pray again that the Word of God will speak to each of us, especially if you're here today and you do not know Christ as Savior. I pray that the Lord would help you to see, again, your great need of Him. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, starting in verse number 10. Notice now the Bible says, "And she was in bitterness of soul," speaking of Hannah. Of course, if as you study chapter number 1, you'll find that she's married. And, of course, in that marriage, you'll find that there's two different wives. Now, God never ordained that, but we see that's the situation. We see the other wife has children. Hannah has no children, and her desire is to have a child. And certainly was very important within the Jewish family, and certainly is important in the family even today. But notice in verse number 10, she couldn't have children. But notice in verse number 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrow, a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. And so the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance, notice this now, was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord, notice this, remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as the soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this good day. We thank you for health and strength, this opportunity and privilege. I had to be back in your house this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you for this special day. We thank you for our mothers. And Lord, I just pray, Father, a special blessing, Father, upon each and every one today. Lord, I thank you for the good singing. Lord, I thank you for the Sunday school hour. Lord, all this has been done. Father, in your name, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for it. I thank you for, Lord, your precious word. And I pray now as I stand, Father, in this place for a few moments this morning, God, I pray that, Father, you'll anoint me and touch me and help me. Lord, I pray that, Father, you'll give me the message that's needed for this hour. And then, Lord, I pray that, Father, hearts will be receptive under the preaching of the word of God. I pray he, the Holy Ghost, will take overcharge. I pray anoint me with fresh oil that, God, I may preach that message you placed upon my heart. Then again, as the message goes out, I pray hearts will be tender. I pray hearts will be receptive, especially for that one that may be here today lost, or that one that may be here wayward, that one that may be here today that, Lord, that Father is, Lord, in turmoil and doubt. Lord, I just pray that, Father, you'll take the message, and I pray that you'll place it and use it. And, Lord, I pray people will come, especially, again, those that are lost, that, Father, today they might come to know you in a free pardon of sin. I pray you'll challenge all of our mothers that are here today to be the godly mother that, Father, you've called them to be. Now, Lord, I pray again, Father, touch us and use us, and, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again, for a few moments this morning, I want to look at the thought here, some as you pray for us, some lessons from the life of Hannah. And as I said, of course, as we celebrate our moms on this day, for which we are very thankful, as we've already said, let us look again at a mother from the Scriptures that all mothers, as we said, could learn some very valuable lessons from, and not only the mothers today, but I believe all of us could learn some things from her and from her life, and how God used her life here in a very special way at a very specific time. We see in the life of Hannah how God worked and God moved, and we see a lady here, I believe, that she certainly she loved God, and I believe that's seen through the Scriptures, through her actions and things in her life, that she loved him, and she certainly was leaning upon him and looking to him, certainly for the answers in life. You know, there's a lot of times that we just don't have the answers in life that we would like to have, and certainly we don't understand. And Hannah, I believe, was at that point in her life, there was things happening that she didn't understand, that those things that she did not have an answer for. And so today, I pray that as we look at it for a few moments today, that God would help each of us get here this morning, and especially our mothers, to see some things very important from the life of Hannah. We'll give you about three or four things here with the help of the Lord, again, as you pray for us today, and I pray they'll challenge you, again, every heart and every life. First of all, today, as we look at some lessons from the life of Hannah, first of all, I want you to notice, if you will, her pain. I want you to notice her pain, and I believe that's very well documented here in the text that we've read before your hearing. If you go back and start reading in verse number 1 of this chapter, it begins to lay out certainly some of the historical things, and then we see, of course, about her life and about her marriage. And so we see today that her pain certainly was great at this time in her life, and again, she didn't have the answer for it, and she didn't know what to maybe necessarily to do, but we see some things certainly about this pain. Let me give you a few things about her pain. Let me say this about this as I was studying. The Lord just kind of impressed upon my heart certainly this thought. God on many occasions in the Scriptures and through people's lives has birthed something wonderful through the experience of pain. Now, we don't always understand that through the experience of pain and sorrows. As I said, we don't understand those things. And certainly, we don't understand how God works in a lot of certainly occasions. But yet, we see in the life of Hannah that certainly she was in a time of pain, a time of great sorrow. And we see that how sometimes God brings us to those places to help us to better maybe understand Him and trust Him and look to Him. So we see in the life of Hannah, certainly we see again her pain. We see her pain was simply because number one, we see her womb was empty. She had such a desire to have children. Again, as we said, it's very important, certainly in the Jewish culture, and certainly in any culture as far as that's concerned. But she had a great desire to have a child. And certainly we don't know how many years had passed, certainly in the marriage. And we see, of course, there's another lady within that marriage, as I said, that was not the will of God. God nowhere ordained that. God nowhere certainly give a cause for that. But we see that it happened not only here in this circumstances, but other circumstances in the Scriptures. But we see, of course, time has passed. The other ladies had children, and here poor old Hannah is. And I believe that she was the favorite of her husband. I believe the Scripture teaches that. But yet, for some reason, she could not have any children or had not had any children. So it brought a great pain, great grief, and great sorrow. And so we see her pain, certainly here in the Scriptures today. Her womb was empty. One of the reasons for her pain, and not only was her womb empty, but we see there was warfare at home. We see because of the marriage situation, and the other lady, she has children. Hannah has no children, and so she begins to mock her. She makes fun of her, if you will. Certainly, she's giving her a very hard time about the children, not having any children. And so we see that she was, if you will, cruel to her. She provoked her soul. If you go back and look in verses 6 and 7 of this chapter, you'll see that God outlines that and shows us a little bit more about how that she was treated, how Hannah was treated by the other lady, by the other wife. And so we see that it brings her great pain. And so today, certainly in times of great pain, if we're not careful, that today we simply go away from God instead of going to Him. But I want you to notice not only certainly that she was in pain, or her pain or sorrow today was not only that her womb was empty and because there was warfare at home, but I want you to notice something within that pain, her willingness to go to the temple to worship God. She had a willingness in her heart. That's the reason I say that she loved God. And so ladies today, and not only the ladies, but all of us, certainly in our hearts today, we should love God. You say, preacher, why should I love God today? Even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the things that I don't understand, why should I love God? Because God is still God. God is still on the throne, and God loves you and I today. Hey, friend, I cannot tell you, simply explain to you and define to you how much our God loves us today. You say, preacher, how much did He love us? I'm telling you, loved you and I so much that He was willing to give His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, that you and I could be saved and redeemed, hallelujah, by the Lamb of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad this morning that I've got to experience a mother's love. But greater than that, I'm glad I've got to experience God's love in my heart and in my life. I'm glad He's changed me. I'm glad this morning He's forgiven me. I'm glad this morning, hallelujah, that I'm His and He's mine, and the world can't do anything about it. I'm telling you what, hallelujah, the world may look at us and they try to provoke us and they try to make fun of us, but I'm glad, thank God, this morning, hallelujah, that I know that I've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb today. Hey, you may be going, you may have some pain, you may have some sorrow, and in this life you will. I'm glad today, thank God, because of a man named Jesus. Hallelujah, I don't have to live like that. He's worthy. Notice her willingness to go and worship God anyhow, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the sorrows. Hallelujah, worship God anyhow, honor God anyhow. Why? Because He, irregardless, is still God this morning, my friend. And He's worthy to be worshiped. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. And we see that we can learn a lesson from Hannah, even in the midst of her pain. As I said, God on many occasions has birthed something wonderful through the experience of pain. Her womb's empty. There's warfare at home. But I want you to see her willingness to go and to worship. Today, I wonder, did we come to worship? Oh, the circumstances wasn't good, but she came to worship. I tell you, I thank God for godly women, godly mothers. I'm telling you, if there's anything that's needed today, we need some godly women, some godly mothers, even in the midst of their pain, that is willing to serve God, to love Him, and to worship Him. But I want you to notice not only her pain, but I want you to notice her prayer. Now, I know I preached just a few weeks ago on certainly who is our God, and a God of convenience and a God of crisis, and certainly I'm afraid that's the way God is to a lot of people today. But I want you to look at a lady here that He was not only a God of crisis. I believe, again, that Hannah loved God. Hannah was worshiping God. And so we see that in the midst of her pain, we see a great lesson that all of us could learn in the midst of whatever may be going on in our life, that we can still pray. Now, I want you to notice some things about her prayer today as we think about it. Moms, could I say today, one of the greatest things that you could do for your children, one of the greatest things that you could do for your spouse, one of the greatest things that you could do for your family today is to lift them up to the Lord in prayer. Why? Because He can change things that you cannot change. He can do things that you and I cannot do. Hey, listen, without the hand of God working in the life of Hannah, it looked like it was a hopeless case. But can I tell you today, thank God, when she got a hold of the King of Glory, when she got a hold of the great I Am, I'm telling you, thank God, things begin to happen, and things begin to change, and things begin to turn around. You know what needs to happen in some of our homes. Hallelujah. Let me just go ahead and preach a while. Thank God, I'll tell you what. You need to begin to seek the face of Almighty God, and you need to pray. I'll tell you what, we do enough of everything else. Why don't we pray a while? Why don't we lift them up to the Lord? I'm telling you, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors across the road, your nieces, your nephews, why don't you lift them up to the Lord in prayer? Well, preacher, it looks like it's a hopeless case. Oh yeah, there's a lot of those out there that looks like they're hopeless today. They're hopeless cases. They can't be reached. Nothing can be done. Nothing can change. Can I tell you, nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too big. Nothing's impossible. Hallelujah today. I'm so glad. Thank God we see a lady that gives us an example of prayer here this morning. Have you prayed about it? In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of the ridicule, in the midst of the warfare. Oh my, boy, there's some typology here. Praise God. Notice her, hallelujah. Notice her prayer. James 4:2, the latter part says, we have not because we ask not. Now, I know that we see here in the text that certainly she prays. But I don't believe this is the first time she prayed. We pray one prayer and God don't answer it the way we want Him to answer it, or don't answer it as quick as we want Him to, then certainly we think, well, there's no use to pray anymore. Now, I know the Scripture, and I'm not trying to add to or take anything away from the Scriptures, but I believe this is a lady that knew how to pray. I believe she knew how to get a hold of God. I believe, thank God, she already knew about this thing of prayer. I believe she'd already utilized this thing of prayer. But there's something different about this prayer maybe that she prays this time. I want you to notice in her prayer, we have not because we ask not. As we said, James 4:2 teaches us that. But I want you to notice the sadness. Number one, in her prayer, I want you to notice the sadness of her prayer. In verse 10 it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. That wasn't the average, now lay me down to sleep type prayer. She was at the place She was in bitterness of soul. She was weeping. She was in the place to where all that she knew to do. Oh, hallelujah, this is good if we get a hold of it. When she says, I can't figure it out. When she says, I know that I can't change it. When she knows, without a doubt, she's got to get to God, and all she can do is bring it to Him and put it in His hand. But could I say, His hands are very capable. Hallelujah. I'm glad today we serve a God that when we get down to business with God, I'm glad God can get down to business with us this morning. Our problem is sometimes we're just not getting down to business. But now Hannah is getting down to business with God. Some of you need to get down to business with God over your children. Some of you might need to get down to business with God over your marriage. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah, preacher. She was broken. She was burdened. And she was ready to get down to business. I don't even have him wrote down. But she was broken. She was burdened. And she was willing to get down to business with God. She prays. I think there's some great lessons in her prayer. We see that she prays in the sadness of her prayer. But she still prayed. She still prayed. What else is she going to do? She can't change it. She's done everything physically that she knows. Hey, her husband loves her. Her husband, if you go back and read in chapter number 1, you read in the previous verses, you'll find, of course, that they went up to a sacrifice. We see that he gives a portion to his other wife and to the children, but he gives a greater portion unto Hannah. He loves her. But yet, there was still a longing in her heart. She wanted a child. We see her pain. We see her prayer. We see the, as we said, number 1, the sadness of her prayer. But number 2, I want you to notice something else. We see the sincerity of her prayer. The sincerity of her prayer. Notice in verse number 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Notice the sadness of her prayer, but then notice the sincerity of her prayer. The sincerity of it. She wasn't worried about what everybody, she wasn't worried about Eli, the high priest, she wasn't worried about what he thought about it. He thought she was drunk. I mean, now, that's when you get down to business with God. When people think, now, what in the world's wrong with him? What in the world's wrong with her? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You've got to the place in your life, it doesn't really matter. All you want to do is get a hold of God. Boy, I can remember a time in my life when it was like that. Oh, Lord, when I realized I was lost and undone without God and I was headed to hell, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost of God convicted me and brought me to the realization that I needed a Savior. Oh, I made my way out on that Sunday morning. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know much about the Bible. But I'll tell you what, when I got to that altar, I wanted to get a hold of God. I was sincere in that prayer, and I'm glad when I was. I'm glad God answered that prayer. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Bible teaches us? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not hope so, not maybe so, but shall be saved today. Amen. Preacher, what's that got to do with the message? I just mixed it in, all right? Somebody might need to get saved today. What a great Mother's Day present that would be. But maybe we need to get some moms back to praying. Like Hannah prayed. Now listen, I'm not leaving the dads out of this any whatsoever. We still have a responsibility as well. But I'll tell you what, there's just something about moms. I've heard testimony after testimony of people that would talk about hearing their mom, their grandma, somewhere in a back room, maybe somewhere in a bedroom, calling out their name to God in prayer. You want to do something for your children? You want to give them something that nobody else can give them? You pray for them. Even in the sadness of her prayer, we see the sincerity of it. In other words, she meant business with God. As I said, Eli the high priest, he thinks she's drunk. Now, that's when you're getting down to business with God. Didn't matter what anybody else thought. See her pain, but see her prayer. The sadness of her prayer. Notice the sincerity of her prayer. I believe, as I've said, she prayed like she had never prayed before. But not only do I want you to see the sadness and the sincerity, but I want you to see it was specific. Now, most of the time we generalize our prayers. I'm guilty as anybody. We generalize our prayers. Now, when you get to the place that Hannah got to, it wasn't generalized prayer. It was specific prayer. What was she longing for? What was she yearning for? She was yearning and longing for a child. She didn't understand. I don't understand that either. There's things that happen in life. There's things that happens to families. There's things that happen, ladies, that I don't understand. I don't have the answer for. But God does. Not only does He have the answer, He is the answer. But she was not only in her prayer, was she sincere, but she was specific. Notice she says she asked for a man-child. A man-child. Again, which was very important in the Jewish custom. Very important. It's important in our custom. Amen. In our lives. But yet we, as you study Jewish history, you find out the importance of that. But she was specific. She didn't ask for just a child. She asked for a man-child. And the reason she done that is she was going to give him to the Lord. Now I'll get into that in just a moment. But in her prayer, we see the sadness of it. We see the sincerity of it. We see that it was specific prayer. But then I want you to notice something else about her prayer. I want you to notice the satisfaction of her prayer. If you'll notice here in verse 18, I know I'm skipping a lot of verses here, but I got to get this thing in gear and get it done. But in verse 18, after her and Eli had the conversation here, we see in verse 18, and she said, "Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat. You'll find in the previous verses in chapter number 1 that she wasn't eating. I mean, she was just brokenhearted. She was in pain. She was in sorrow. But notice after she prays. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance, watch it, what does it say? Was no more sad. Something happened in that prayer. Now, of course, we see Eli and all the things that are taking place there, but Eli's the high priest. Eli can't answer the prayer. Now, he can pray for her too, but he can't answer the prayer. I'm glad there's only one that can answer the prayer. There's only one today that can make the things come to pass that we pray for. Now, why God hadn't given her a child up to this point, we don't know. Again, I believe God, again, through sometimes in pain, God bursts some things in our life, sometimes that are wonderful through those situations. But we don't have the answer. But she prays. Notice the satisfaction of her prayer. She didn't pray and say, well, maybe it's going to happen. She was a changed woman. She came in with pain and sorrow and trouble. And her countenance certainly showed forth how sad that she was. But now her countenance was no more sad. You know what she done? She gave it to God. Sometimes we just got to give it to God. What's being said here is she's going to trust God. Now that's a whole lot. That's easy preaching and hard living sometimes. But she's going to trust God. I wonder what happens when you trust God. Could I say good things happen when you trust God? When you see what she's doing is she's totally releasing herself from it. And she's putting it into the hands of God. It's amazing. A lot of times we say that we let go of some things. We let go of some things. But for some reason, we hang on just a little bit. Just a little bit. And sometimes, Brother Richard, God, he really can't do nothing until we're willing to let go of that little bit. And when we say, Lord, I don't have control of it. I don't want to hold it. Lord, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to turn loose of it. And she turned loose of it, trusted God with it. And I'm telling you what, God began to work in her life. Well, preacher, that was back in the Old Testament. Well, I'm glad God hadn't changed according to the book of Hebrews. And I realize we're living in a different dispensation of time. I understand all that. I realize that God's working in a different time, in a different way. And man, there's even a lot of things in this scripture that pertains to that. But I'm telling you, I'm glad God is still able this morning. And ladies, if you want to do something special for your family, and I know that you do, and I know you want to do something special for your children. And for you that don't have children yet, just keep praying. Hannah didn't give up. Hannah kept loving God, serving God, worshiping God, praying to God. We see God do something wonderful. We see her pain. We see her prayer, the sadness of prayer, the sincerity of prayer, the specific prayer. But notice the satisfaction in prayer. She just believed God. Some people have walked an aisle, and you may be here today and you have walked the aisle. And you've come down in some way, somehow you think you've prayed a little prayer and made everything right with God. But there's still something that you're just holding on to. Have you really believed God for it? How sad it would be come down to the end of the way and you thought everything was all right. Or you hoped everything was all right. But there's just something you didn't want to let go of. There's something you don't want to believe God for. How sad it would be. I'll tell you what you need to do. Believe God for it. Quit trusting yourself. Notice her pain. Notice her prayer. Then I want you to notice her promise. Everything's all right. Just look right here. People need to do business with God. Let them do it. Maybe you need to as well. Come on. Somebody will pray with you and help you. We see some very valuable lessons. We see her pain. We see her prayer. But I want you to notice her promise. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him to you. Now, we know from the study of the Word of God, and I preached this from this very pulpit, about vowing a vow and not holding to that vow and how dangerous that is. But Hannah's promise was not like that. Hannah's promise was a promise that she would fulfill. Now be careful with those promises. Now you understand that she's been childless. You understand that she's had great pain and sorrow and ridicule and suffering and warfare at home. But she says, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. I want you to notice two things about her promise. I want you to notice, first of all, her commitment. As I said, she promises the Lord in verse number 11. She says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him. I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And a razor, in other words, she is committing him to the ministry of the Lord. I want to tell you something today, moms. I want to tell you something, ladies. I'll even say that if you want to do something for your children, you commit them to the Lord. Well, preacher, I don't want my child, my son to become a preacher. I don't want my daughter to become this. Listen, let them become what God wants them to become. God had a specific need here at this time of history, and God used the pain and the heartache of Hannah to pray for this child, and she gives this child to God, and God uses Samuel. You'll find him mentioned in the Hebrews chapter number 11 in the heroes of faith. I'm telling you, God worked through her pain. And she made a promise. Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'm going to give him back to you. Now, let's think about it for just a moment. She prays, she goes away. Her and her husband go home. Ha ha, things begin to happen when they get home. She conceives, and she's got a child. Now, in the midst of all that, sometimes, oh Lord, I didn't really mean it. Oh yeah, my prayer got answered the way I want it, but now Lord, I didn't really mean all that, did I? Lord, you don't really expect me to hold to that, do you? Oh my. If you pray like Hannah prayed, you made a promise like Hannah made, you better keep it. You better keep it. Notice in her promise, notice her commitment. Lord, I'll give him back to you. How we need to commit our children to the Lord. It's not what we want them to be that's important. It's what God has designed them to be. It's what is important. I believe God has a plan and a purpose for every human being that's ever been born. I believe that. And she's committing her son. She said, Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'm going to give him right back. We see her promise. We see her commitment. We see not only her commitment, but we see her consecration in verses 27 and verse 28 of chapter number 1. We see again that everything transpires and everything happens. She's got this baby boy. Now, I've been around a few of these things. One of the hardest things in the world for her to have done was to give that child to the Lord. Now, we look in the scriptures and we think, well, you know, there wasn't nothing to it. I've been around a few mamas. Notice they go up and she don't go up the first time. She says, wait till I get him weaned. She gets him weaned. What's she do? She done just exactly what she said she would. She consecrated him for the work of the Lord. Consecration is simply no more than devoting, get a hold of that word, devoting to the service and worship of God. Notice in verses 27, 28. For this child I prayed. She takes him there. And she says, for this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Watch this. And he worshiped the Lord there. How about Samuel? Now, Hannah's name means favored. Samuel's name means heard of God. Think about him. He's just a child. Oh, and we see that God, oh man, there's some just great things in the life of Samuel. I don't have time. We see how God calls to him. And Eli, boy, he thinks that Samuel's dreaming and all those. But see, his mama said, Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'll give him back to you and he'll serve you all the days of his life. There's preachers in pulpits today. There's missionaries across America today and across the world today. No doubt there were some mamas that said, Lord, I'm going to commit this child to you and to your work. We see how God used Samuel from a very young age. How he anointed David to be king. Of course, he anointed Saul. Of course, that wasn't God's choice. That was the people's choice. And how he anointed David to be king of Israel. Think if there had been no Samuel. Well, preacher, God would have found somebody. But God was looking for somebody to come looking for him. There's some lessons to be learned. Notice her pain. Notice her prayer. Notice her promise. Her commitment. Her consecration. Then, lastly, today I want you to notice God's provision. Preacher, I don't understand why Hannah had to go through all those things. I don't understand them either. But God used them. Sometimes we all go through some things that we don't understand. It's not important what we go through, it's how we go through it. Now, she could have threw up her hands, got mad at God, but she didn't. And I want you to notice three things about God's provision, that God honored Hannah because of her prayer and because of her promise. Three things. God provided her a son. It's what she prayed for. She didn't pray for two or three sons, four or five. She prayed for a son, for a man child. And we see God provided that. Just as sure as I'm standing here on this podium in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, on Mother's Day 2015, only God could have answered that prayer. Only God could have made that provision. And God did. God provided her a son. Secondly, God provided her a shout. Oh, she was sad at one time, but she's not sad no more. Matter of fact, after she got done praying, her countenance changed. She wasn't sad. But think about when that little boy was born. Not only that, but go down in chapter number 2. Look with me just a moment. God provided her a son. God provided her a shout. Hallelujah for shouting mamas. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." Hey, what's that other woman going to say now? What's this? "Because I rejoice in thy salvation." She's rejoicing. Why? Because God done something that only God could do. Only God could make it possible for children, and only God can make it possible for the second birth. Only God can do that. When that happens, ought to be a shout. Amen. It's always, isn't it always a joyous time, a wonderful time? When those babies is born, I'm telling you. And isn't it joyous when you see someone born again? Oh, yes, it started out looking pretty bleak. There was a lot of pain. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for a promise. Thank God for God's provision. God provided her a son. God provided her a shout. If you'll notice in verse 2, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Oh, my. But then God provided her security. She was happy with the one child. I believe that. She was happy. God had granted her request. But have you ever noticed that when we really commit something to the Lord, that He always goes above and beyond? Hallelujah. Miss Margaret, we ought to shout a while on that. He always goes above and beyond anything. Hey, I'm just talking about being saved today. How great. Listen, I've got more than fire insurance. I got a Heavenly Father that walks with me and talks with me, has promised me so many things, and is going to fulfill every promise today. But hallelujah, when you think about God goes above and beyond what we can imagine that He will do. When we will pray like Hannah prayed, when we'll believe like Hannah believed, when we promise like Hannah promised. You say, well, how did he give her security? Well, in chapter number 2, go over to verse number 21. I'm about done, I promise. They ain't used to getting her to go in the restaurant. Everybody's already there. And you don't come back tonight, so we'll make sure you get a good dose while you're here. Look at verse 21. God going above and beyond what she prayed for. Hallelujah. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons. And didn't stop there. How much time has transpired? How much time and effort have they put into having children? They can't have none. There's pain, there's grief, there's worry at home, there's an empty womb. But she prays. And 2 daughters. What's 3 and 2 make? Ooh, think about that for a minute. 3 and 2 make 5, and 5's the number of what? Grace. Hallelujah. God gave her grace. When you don't think you can't make it, you keep trusting God because God's going to give you grace. When you don't have the answer and you can't figure it out, God gave you grace. God provided her a son. God provided her a shout. God provided her security. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Why is that there, preacher? Because Samuel was right where she left him. What she promised. She left him in the service of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I think there's some great lessons that we can learn from the life of Hannah. Favored. Heard of God. Samuel was an answer to prayer. My, how God used him. Some great lessons to be learned. Just because you're going through some pain, could you imagine she could look at the other woman and go, look at what God done. God has always honored faithfulness. Always. Now that doesn't mean he's always going to answer everything the way I want it, the way you want it. But God honors faithfulness. She not only had one, but she had five. Six, counting Samuel. Today, is there some lessons that you need to apply? Some's already applied some lessons. Thank God for that. But maybe you're here today. There's something that you're just kind of holding on to. This handkerchief don't look too heavy. Well, you carry it long enough and let it hang down there long enough, you're going to get tired of it sometime or another. It's just going to get in the way. Why don't you just let it go? Trust God. Whatever His will is. Whatever His will is. Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning. What is it you need from God? What is it you need to bring to God? What is it you need to trust God with? Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your family member. Maybe it's you. Why don't you come and give it to God? Brother Ryan, if you'll go ahead and come on. Ladies, come to the instruments. If you need to pray, come on right now. You don't have to wait. It's already been well documented here this morning. You don't have to wait for a thing. You come on and do business with God. How does it stand this morning between you and Him? What do you need to give to Him? What do you need to trust Him with? Father, I pray you take the message. Lord, I've tried to deliver it. Father, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the best I knew how to do with your help. And Lord, I thank you for those that have already come this morning. And Lord, you've already touched their heart and have already been obedient. But Lord, there may be others here this morning that, Lord, they're just hanging on to something that they need to let go of. Won't get it committed. Won't turn it over to the Lord. Won't take it out of their hands and put it in His. Lord, I pray this morning, would you work in every heart and every life? Would you help? Thank you, Lord, that you're long-suffering and you're merciful. And even though we don't always understand, Lord, you're working. I pray for that one that may be here today lost. Oh, God, I pray. That one that maybe has walked an aisle sometime or another, but, Lord, they just never really got it committed to you. Lord, how sad it would be to die lost and undone without God. Maybe there's some moms that need to come pray for their children today. Somebody needs to get a hold of God on their account. Maybe a husband. Maybe a husband needs to come pray for his children. Maybe he needs to come pray for his wife. Lord, I just commit it to you this morning. There's some great lessons to be learned. Help us to learn them. Take the invitation. You use it. And we'll give you glory. In Christ's name, amen.